And what's nice, I think, about where cities are finally starting to move to, and especially Austin with the partnership they've now done with the Dell Medical School and really wanting to create truly a holistically healthy city and environment.
Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health, and you're listening to Into the Fold. The Hogg Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu, and Hogg is spelled H-O-G-G. So it seems like a simple question. How do communities create mental health and well-being? It's a simple question that does not have a simple answer. Historically, the study of mental illness has been preoccupied with the individual, with what goes wrong in individual minds and how that can be treated. But people have always recognized the connection between community factors, quality of life, level of civic engagement, economic development, and many others, and individual well-being. More recently, mayors and other civic leaders have turned their attention to better understanding and harnessing these community-level factors with the goal of impacting people's lives in ways that can be measured. So what ideas have come to the forefront, and what more do we need to learn? Joining us today are Dr. Octavio N. Martinez, Jr., Executive Director of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health, and Dr. Clay Johnston, Dean of Dell Medical School. We're coming to you from the campus of Dell Medical School, so if you should happen to hear any murmurings in the background, perhaps even an occasional ambulance siren, you'll know why. We're here to have a conversation that focuses on a particular community, Austin, Texas, but about issues that affect everyone in Texas and beyond. Dr. Martinez and Dr. Johnston, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
You're welcome, Mike.
So because it's a word that elicits strong feelings, I thought it would be a nice place to start. What is community to you? And what sorts of obligation for leaders are implied by your understanding of the concept?
Yeah, so obviously community has multiple different meanings. One, though, is one simple way we think about in the healthcare system is it's the things that happen outside the clinics and hospitals. And then obviously people are parts of many different communities, their physical community, but also the communities in which they work and in which they share religion. In other cultural commonalities, in the way they care for each other, so it there are multiple communities for each individual.
I think Clay, that's spot on. In addition to that, the Hogg Foundation, when we look at community, we do concentrate a lot of outside of the medical setting, and really where everyone really lives, learns, works, plays, and prays are our communities, and as Dr. Johnston pointed out, folks, we each and every one of us actually are part of very many different communities. We're not just part of one community, but it all depends also on the level that you're looking at. Say, my community is my neighborhood, or then my community becomes my city, or then my community becomes my state as we kind of move out. If you leave the United States, then your community is the United States. So there's multiple levels also within that context, like Dr. Johnston was talking about.
Okay, and so when we think of cities, you know, especially cities of a good size like Austin, one thing we think about is all the services that cities offer to their residents. In mental health, we often reduce things to services because those are tangible and can be quantitatively measured. But quality of life also has a very subjective component. Aren't we trying to qualitatively transform what we're doing and not just quantitatively add to what we're doing?
You mean in terms in the service of promoting mental health
and wellness? Sure.
And wellness. Yeah. No, absolutely. I think the way I think about it is we, for one thing, when we talk about the clinics and hospitals, the healthcare system, because that's where really the healthcare system is working. We are, for one thing, not every person that needs to be seen there can be seen, is seen, particularly in mental health, and it pushes people out of that system all the time. But also then we're waiting for things to get really bad. We're not actually thinking upstream of how to keep people out of that system. And so we're failing to actually keep people healthy, to focus on their health. And that's really what they care about. In that same time that we're doing that, we're investing a huge amount of money on what happens in clinics and hospitals, and failing to see that that money could be more appropriately used with much greater impact if it were invested before anyone comes to a hospital or clinic. So for us, it's thinking differently about how we move our attention from healthcare to health, and from being responsive in a sort of a traditional strict environment to one in which we really are, as you say, embracing the lifestyle, the quality of life issues, as well as the provision of services directly out in the community.
Yes, I think so, Clay. And the way we see it at the Hogg Foundation is looking at really those external factors to the clinical setting. And what's nice, I think, about where cities are finally starting to move to, and especially Austin with the partnership they've now done with the Dell Medical School and really wanting to create truly a holistically healthy city and environment. And it's not just the city, it's really the county and even the entire metro area. And I think all of our urban areas as well as our rural areas are starting to look at those aspects of what really is important to overall well-being and really to health. And within that context, obviously, then also physical and mental health. And it's recognizing that the HHS and HHS is equally important. We call them human services, but we've now really expanded beyond that and consider them sort of the social determinants of what actually impact health. And it's just not that interaction with your doctor or the medication or other non-pharmacological interventions, but in fact, it's also our lived environment. Do we have green space? Because we've now learned that it's so important to our overall well-being. Do we have transportation services? When you go to the grocery store, are there fruits and vegetables that you can buy for your family and your loved ones? And what's great is I think we're moving toward really a model where within the clinical setting that is recognized and respected, and external to that, cities are starting to understand how important that really is to the overall well-being of their community.
Okay.
Can I follow up just on an interesting? Did you happen to see that? I haven't had a chance to read it in detail, but today an article came out in The Lancet about where they randomized people to either walk, and this is in London, in Hyde Park or on Oxford Street.
Oh, my.
And they looked at the health consequences of those two choices, and they saw much greater positive impact in walking through the park. And I think that's a good example of the kind of you know, the kind of changes that a city can make to support health.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point, Clay. And what Clay's pointing out as well for everyone is that research is being done, and we're it's qualitative, but there's quantitative research also actually happening to be able to identify and understand how important that really is and why you need a park in Southeast Austin, Northeast Austin, Central Austin, West Austin, and not just, you know, a Longtown Lake or a Zilker Park. Those are fantastic resources for our community, but we need others as well.
Okay, so I tend to think that civic engagement is a crucial dimension of community, and that the lack of it contributes to the kind of alienation that I think affects mental health. And I mean, there's all this talk nowadays, for example, about people's loneliness, which sounds almost like a very banal thing to concern oneself with. But I think that there's something to it. And cities are increasingly being seen, for better or for worse, as sites of resistance to the current political climate. And so if people are awakening to the importance of civic engagement, of just being out amongst one's neighbors and voting and having conversations about things that are going on and attending council meetings and things like that, are there ways that energy can be harnessed for the sake of people's wellness. Are there any examples you know of that happening?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So, I mean, the research on this goes back to Emil Durkheim, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so
a sociologist. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Sociologist over 100 years ago, looking at predictors of suicide and finding that the less integrated someone was with their community, which is in civic engagement is only one piece of that, but a piece, the more likely they were to commit suicide. Mm. And obviously why are they committing suicide? You know, obviously their depression and a sense of self-worth, all that impacting that. So I think it's interesting to recognize that this isn't a new thing. It's an old thing. Also, though, the discussions about what social media does to that engagement, I think, is a fascinating one. And whether that represents a easier, accessible, more convenient way to connect with one's community, or in fact, it's a barrier to connection, needs further study. And I mean, Octavia, you may be aware of more research on that. I'm not. I think it's a fascinating question. No question in my mind that based on, you know, this longstanding research more broadly about engagement, that engagement is very, very important to health, and including and especially to mental health.
I totally agree, and once I agree with Clay. Fascinating question, and he's pointed out. This has a lot of history, and I think the reason it has so much history and the research that's being done is so important, even as we go forward, is because we're human beings and we're emotional beings. Yeah. And so one of the key things about being a human being is actually that human connectedness to each other. Everything from the child-parent bond between mother and child to an elder sort of interacting with their grandchild as well, and how important it is for their overall health and their mental health. And so what's happening, though, within cities, I think, as well as some of the research, is sort of like the RAISE study that's been done at NIH, which shows that individuals, even with severe mental illness like schizophrenia, when we introduce and ensure that there's actually engagement for those individuals, because unfortunately illness has a tendency to disengage folks from a cognitive standpoint as well as from a social standpoint. And when that's back and introduced, their outcomes are so much better, let alone just in when you think about mental health, which is not about mental illness, but our overall health. Having neighborhood associations where you interact with your neighbors and you get to understand who they are, regardless of their race, their ethnicity, their age, their socioeconomic status, and how we end up engaging with each other and understanding the respect for each other, which helps us to then go back to that word about community, really understand the bond that we have to each other. Because really, when it comes down to it, we're all human beings here, all together trying to really live a good overall respectful life.
Okay. So my next question is for Dr. M, but Dr. Johnston, feel free to jump in if you like. So imagine that you have every important civic leader in a room at one time. What would you most like them to understand about what you understand about the relationship between mental health and overall well-being?
Great question, Ike. One, we'll have to get a really big room so I can get everybody in there, which would be really fantastic. I think Clay would love to do that too, by the way. But there are definitely a few things that I would want these civic leaders to truly understand. And one I think we've already alluded to, which is there is no health without mental health. Truly understanding, hence what's been going on with what we call integration or collaborative care, where we're bringing under the rubric back a holistic approach to the delivery of care. But also, that's equally important for external, as Clay and I have been talking about, to the medical setting, how important it really is to have a holistic approach. So that's really important. The second one, and Clay mentioned this as well, and I want to reiterate how important it is really going upstream. We really need to take a much more public health approach to how we're addressing the issues that affect our communities, and really understanding that prevention, there's so much there that can still be done, not only within the medical setting, but even external to that, by addressing the social determinants of health. Everything from, like we've mentioned before, from green spaces to transportation to food deserts, are really important to having an overall ability to really maximize one's feelings about where they live and how committed they are and engaged with their community. And thirdly, I think that which is really also important is the ongoing research that needs to happen so that we can learn sort of on a continuous quality improvement approach within a qualitative and quantitative fashion to really bring that so that we have evidence-based approaches to what we're in, with the interventions that we're creating. And for those that even they maybe historically been done for a long time, recognizing maybe it doesn't have the health outcome we thought that it did. And so that's equally important for us to be addressing that and recognizing that. And it doesn't, and those kind of research opportunities and some of that the Hogg Foundation is involved with are with communities themselves, because we feel that communities from a strength-based approach have sort of the resources as well as maybe some of the solutions, but we haven't worked with those individuals or communities in a structured fashion to be able to develop those and then share with our communities.
Okay. This next question is for Dr. Johnston. So Austin, and I've lived here for most of my life, it has a particular set of attributes that I think a lot of people would envy. You know, growing population, booming economy, a lot of culture, entertainment options, but there's a lot of inequality here. And this inequality, I think, bears on our conversation about communities and well-being. So what, in your opinion, what is the role of healthcare in minimizing the threat that inequality poses to people's sense of community? And if there are any current initiatives here at the medical school that kind of help to illustrate the point, you know, feel free to mention those.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I mean, Austin has substantial inequality. I mean, pretty much every U.S. city does. But I think because the highs are so high in Austin, the differences are quite can be seen as quite stark. And it's interesting, this morning on the way in, I heard a little blurb on NPR about that the Chamber of Commerce had reported that the average income per capita income in Austin had gone up 20% in the last 5 years. And you know, if you hear that just naively without question, you think, wow, isn't that a wonderful sign of success? But the reality is that's probably an increase in people moving here that are getting higher paid jobs and an exodus of people who are being paid more poorly
and
can no longer afford to live here.
And other things become more expensive at the same time.
That's right. And of course, it's matched with the cost of living, and the housing costs have gone up probably even more than that over the last 5 years. So just making the point that, you know, when you don't examine how things impact the entire community, then you lose sight of what needs to get done. If we want to make Austin a model healthy city, the easiest way to do that, the most appropriate way to do that, is to focus on where we have inequities. Those are the lowest hanging fruit, things that we can respond to quickly, easily. We know what to do in order to raise the health of all. And why should we do that? Well, you know, even if you don't believe in social equity, so even if you don't believe, you believe everybody should be working on their own and they need to be incentivized to push and everybody has an equal opportunity. Even if you believe that, the reality is by not supporting the health of folks who are most disadvantaged in our communities, we're creating an economic impact downstream that we have to own. When those same people show up in the emergency room or show up in the hospital, we're obligated to care for those folks. We can't say, no, you can't come into the hospital. You don't have insurance, or, you know, you're too poor to have insurance, so therefore we're not going to provide care to you. We care for everyone once they come to the hospital. And that's expensive care. And so the reality is by elevating the health of all, we actually we reduce the waste in the system by just dealing with the illness that we could have controlled upstream, and we create a more productive community. So regardless of the impacts that come with social equity and our good feelings about caring for everyone in the community and raising what it means to be human and how we care for other humans, regardless of all those things, which to me are compelling, but not to everyone, there is a clean, pragmatic argument for doing it. And it is going to be the quickest, best way to create the kind of model healthy city that we aspire to be.
Okay. So we're coming at you from Dell Medical School. We're talking about how communities can promote and protect mental health and well-being using the city, the booming city of Austin, Texas, as our backdrop. If you visit our website, hog.utexas.edu, one thing that you'll find is that lately we've been saying quite a bit, particularly as it pertains to the Hogg Foundation's new strategic direction, this focus on communities and our recent shift from a focus on individual health to community health and well-being. We're very proud of the work that we're doing and will yet be doing. We're also excited about the many things that are happening here at Dell Medical and excited about what our relationship with Dell Medical has been and will continue to do for us. So Dr. Clay Johnston, Dr. Martinez, thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Very welcome, Mike. Thank you, Clay.
You bet.